Serum infusion. Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
It's Geek Stuff, TNG.
Who?
The longest running geek-related podcast out there, Geek Stuff TNG.
Allegedly.
But also, really.
Who the hell are you?
I'm Peter, by the way.
Doctor Strange.
Oh, you're using your made-up names. I'm Spider-Man, then.
I am the Senate.
I am the Sandwich.
I can handle things, I'm smart!
They don't know what it's like running the sandwich shop. You know, it takes a village to run the sandwich shop.
Look at that. He's making me cry.
I'm Groot.
I am Batman.
I am West Coast.
Scott! Great Scott!
Oh, actually, he's the boss. I just pay for everything and design everything and make everyone look cooler.
I am Big Kev.
I'm always angry.
Who the hell knows why talent does what they do? That's why they're talent.
Me and Scott.
Yeah.
The real talent on the show.
Oh, boy.
As I like to say.
I have a very long history with those characters.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
Scott will remember this, but Sandwich won't because he was 4.
I understood that reference.
I am Optimus Prime.
Why did you say that name?
Punch it!
I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet. I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash to spend it on mustache. Man, it's good to be a geek. It's good to be a geek.
Hey, welcome everybody to Geek Stuff, episode 818. This one's going up a little bit later than normal because we didn't record an episode this week, but we did go to, and by we, I mean me, we did go to Cartoonapalooza in Temecula, California. This is, I think, the 4th year of this local free event, and it was a great time, and I got to moderate a panel with the manager of Sanctum Comics Cards and Games here in Temecula, as well as the Faye cosplay. So we did a little bit of comic store talk, a little bit of cosplay talk, and it was a lot of fun. So essentially, episode 818 is going to just be the interview, and then we will return next week with our normally scheduled programming with me, Big Kev, and the Sandwich. So before we jump into the interview, I will do all of these standard reminders. Hello to anybody from Cartoonapalooza that's listening to us for the first time this week. Be sure to check us out over on you can hit our link tree, which is geekstufftng, or patreon.com/geekstufftng, or the website, which is just www.geekstufftng.com. If you're supporting us on the Patreon for just $1 a month, you get access to the show's private Discord server. At $3 a month, it's the early bird special, so you get the shows as soon as we're done editing them. So that's usually around Wednesday night. Shows normally come out on Friday. At $5 a month is the bonus round, where you get the vintage episodes of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, going back all the way to 2006 when the show started, and then the Sandwich Shop as well, when the Sandwich does some little bonus features about things that he does on the end there. And at $10 a month, you can join us live in the Zoom and participate in the show there. Another way to participate in the show is to leave us a voicemail. You can call the GVM line at 201-730-2547. That is 201-730-2547. Or send us an email at geekstufftng@gmail.com. And so with that, I am going to play the commercials and go into the interview right after that.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Yeah.
In a world where geek culture reigns supreme, there's a hidden gem that shines brighter than any Infinity Stone. Get ready for Huracan, the ultimate comic art convention with a heart.
Get ready for a vibrant tapestry of comic books, writers, artists, toys, food, raffles for unique items, collectibles, cosplay, fellowship, and much more. Previous guests have included renowned comic book professionals and local artists. And let's not forget about the famous raffle table that has gained acclaim as the best raffle table of any convention on Long Island. HorrorCon just isn't a convention. It's a testament to resilience, community spirit, and power of the geek culture to unite and uplift. So mark your calendars.
You'll have two chances to attend HorrorCon in 2025, June 14th and November 22nd. Immerse yourself in a world where passion meets purpose. Follow HorrorCon on Facebook and Instagram and join us at the Bethany Congregational Church, 100 Main Street in East Rockaway, for an experience like no other. HorrorCon, the ultimate celebration of geek culture and community. Don't miss out.
We need to get the word out that the listeners can be involved with Geek Stuff TNG directly by using our GVM line
201-730-2547.
Maybe we could use our seductive voices?
Huh?
Our what?
All right, here. Let's read these lines in our most seductive voices, like this.
Hey there. We want you to be a part of Geek Stuff TNG with your questions and your comments.
Oh!
That's right. We want you to tell us what's on your mind. What we are doing that you like.
So call us on the GVM line, 201-730-2547, and you may hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Geek Stuff TNG.
Wow.
Wow.
What?
And now another classic Geek Stuff ID.
Hey, this is Adam West from Batman and Family Guy and a few other things.
Who is it this time? Commissioner, Joker, Egghead, Riddler, King Tut?
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Come on, Robin. To the Batcave. We haven't one moment to lose.
Geek Stuff TNG.
Live from the Sandwich Shop. Piday Productions in sunny Southern California and Big Kev Una Studios. It's Geek Stuff TNG. During our commercial break, you heard from our amazing sponsor, BuildXWing.com. This model is in 1/18 scale, making it the only fully scaled, fully detailed X-Wing ever made for use with your 3 3/4 Star Wars action figures. This X-Wing features many amazing details, like the proton torpedo bay, working engine lights, and a light-up R2-D2. You can add your own boops, bops, and beeps. The S-foils open to attack position. The laser cannons simulate firing, and the engine lights power up, all by remote control. We recommend you take them up on their premium offer. You get 1/18 scale hanger accessories to create a detailed display of your X-Wing, including crates, tanks, personnel transporter, landing lamps, fuel pump, ladder, as well as several static figures, including ground crew members, and even Luke Skywalker himself. When you sign up for your subscription each month, in addition to your parts of the model, you'll get 4 full-color magazines featuring instructions for the parts you've received, fascinating articles about the original models used in the movies, and more. You can collect these great source materials in a free binder, which you'll receive as part of your subscription. As a fan of collectibles, you may have seen models like this online or shows or conventions, and I don't need to tell you, the price tag can be quite high. The genius of the system is that you're paying a little each month as well as having fun putting it together yourself. You can check out more info over at BuildXWing.com or reach them by phone at 877-544-6779. Check them out today.
But welcome again to Cartoonapalooza. Are you guys having a good time so far today? It's lovely, right?
It's a lovely day in Temecula as well. It's not too bad. The sun has just started coming out, so hopefully you guys don't cook up here. But it is a lovely day, and we are ready to get started with our panels. We're going to be having panels throughout the day, of course, and then the whole stage activity concludes with our cosplay contest a little bit later this afternoon, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well. In the meantime, though, we do have panels throughout the day, and this is our first one. Ooh, are we scooting out? Ooh, neat. We're scooting a little bit out. Okay. Oh, into the shade. That shade's going to move while you're up here, you know. We're going to be moving. We should put the table on wheels next year. Put that in our notes for next year. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get started then with our first panel of the day. So please welcome to the stage Scott from Geek Stuff TNG. He's going to be hosting this panel. Then we have Dan from Sanctum and cosplayer Faye as well. So give him a big round of applause.
All right, everybody hear me okay? Thanks for coming out. I know the sun just came out exactly when we're going to do the panel, so that's perfect. It was really nice and overcast, and we'll take the cool as long as we can get it in Temecula, right? So again, welcome. We're going to be talking a little bit about our local game store, a little bit about cosplay. Should be fun. Before we do that, I'm going to let both of the guests introduce themselves. So if you want to grab that mic, Dan, you can go first.
Hello. Hi, I'm Dan. I manage Sanctum Comics Games and Cards here in Temecula. We're over near the mall, like across the street by Gen Sushi. We do a lot of Magic, Pokemon, we can get it in stock. We do a lot of Warhammer 40K and comics.
Awesome. Hi. So I am not a manager of a comic book store or affiliated in that way, but I am a cosplayer, local cosplayer. I've been doing it for about 3 to 4 years. I'm Faye. And yeah, I've been working with Bigfoot with Cartoonapalooza since 2022. So, a little about me.
How about Instagram for both of you, or social media if you want
to
share?
So, my Instagram and TikTok is The Fae Cosplay. Just all is one word.
That's F-A-E, right?
Yes, correct.
And Instagram and Facebook is just Sanctum CGC.
Sanctum CGC. He was reminding me that's Comics, Games, and Cards, or is it Cards, Games, and Comics?
Comics, Games, and Cards.
Comics, Games, and Cards. All right. So, I'm going to start with you, Dan. You said Pokemon, when we can keep them in stock, so those just kind of fly off the shelves?
Yeah, Pokemon, unfortunately, right now kind of has a scalper problem where Pokemon comes in, people line up, they're like, oh, we make people actually cut the shrink wrap off of it so we can kind of sell it at normal prices, but it still doesn't last very long. Pokemon is very popular right now.
And so what's the second most popular?
For us, it's definitely Warhammer 40K, which is like the tabletop miniature game. You build and paint minis, and then you battle, like, on tables with them. It's, like, very complicated chess.
Very complicated chess. Do you have the whole setup in the store? People come and play in the store?
Yeah, we have a bunch of tables, and some tables we set up on certain days. We always have a couple tables, and then we expand that on Saturdays. We have bigger Warhammer days. And then we have days where we do, like, hobby days where you come in, and a staff member paints with you, shows you how to build them, and helps you out with anything you need to get ready to play.
Right. I mean, these days, you to be a comic store, a game store, you have to be a community center too.
100% agreed. Like, we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for the community. If you just wanted to make money, we would just sell stuff and ship it out of a garage or something. So, the most important thing is providing a safe space for people to come play whatever game they want to play.
Right. So, you know, support your local business, whatever it is, support your local game store. So you have like a regular schedule of different, you know, this night we play this game, that night we play that game?
Yeah, we have a bunch of different games we play. Like every night's pretty much something. Like Tuesday nights we have a couple D&D groups. Wednesday nights we have the Digimon trading card game, and it's also a game where the Warhammer players come in. Thursday night it's like a new Gundam trading card game. Friday night's Magic. Saturday is all Warhammer all day. And then Sunday is the One Piece trading card game, and we'll probably be Pokemon starting pretty soon along with on Tuesdays.
Sounds like those collectible card games are, like, dominating.
Yeah, a lot of them is the scarcity. A lot of people have gotten into it that buy up a lot of the product, collect it, and it makes it hard for people to, like, be able to actually play. So that is actually causing some difficulties growing a community. But we try our best. We limit our product down. We make people open the product in store if they want to buy it at, like, normal prices. We generally don't offer it at, like, scalper prices at all. But if you come in, you take the shrink wrap off your Pokemon product, you can get it for, you know, the $4 or $5 a pack instead of, like, the $10 or $15 or something what it goes for now.
We were talking about other games, like board games. Do you have just a standard board game night? Do you have a role-playing game night there?
Tuesday night's kind of a role-playing night. We don't really have board game night anymore. We're a little bit smaller store, so we don't have room for the vast table space for board games, but we do offer table space for people to come in and just play if they want to bring their own. So as long as you let us know ahead of time, or most days there's some room, we can figure it out. You can always just come in and play board games. Like, I play a lot of board games. A lot of the staff plays a lot of board games. We just don't necessarily have the shelf space to carry enough a selection to carry, like, all the tabletop games.
Yeah, you know, people that like to play board games have the same problem at home, right? Not enough shelf space?
Oh, yeah. I definitely have crates and crates of boxes in my garage filled with board games.
My garage, too. Oh, my daughter's waving at me from the back. So let me ask you this. Personally, of all the games that are being played, what's the favorite night for you?
For me, it's definitely Warhammer. It has been for the last couple of years. It used to be Magic. And I always play some board games in addition, but I play a little bit of everything. Warhammer, by far, is one of my favorite communities and one of my favorite games. It does take a little bit longer to play and longer to get to the point where you can play. But once you do, the community is great. Everyone who plays it is great. You have to be really into it to kind of be able to play, because it's a lot of building and painting. So before you even get to put the miniatures on the table.
Yeah, a little higher barrier to entry with Warhammer. You got to invest a little more time.
Yeah.
So what's a really easy entry game?
Most of the trading card games are pretty easy, especially the anime-related ones like One Piece or Digimon. Gundam's a little hard because it's new, so it's also kind of sold out. But the other ones provide starter decks that let you get into the game really easy and pick them up and start playing.
Is Lorcana also pretty popular?
Lorcana is also one of them as well.
So. And that's like a Disney.
Yeah, it has all the different Disney characters. There's sets that come out. They'll have Mickey Mouse, they'll have Aladdin, they'll have Lilo and Stitch. So it's a battling of all the different, like, your favorite Disney characters.
Right. All right. Well, so what about the comic side of the business?
The comic book side of the business has always been, it's has its small up and downs, but it's always been the consistent side. The other ones kind of depend on releases. Comics depend a little bit on releases, but the releases are spread out over a year. But comics have been doing really good recently. You have a lot of alternative universes that are good jumping on points with the Absolute Universe from DC or the Ultimate Universe from Marvel. And then you have some great Superman comics just came out with the movie. And awesome Supergirl trade that leads into the movie that's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that whenever they do a restart, do a crisis, do something like that, it's going to push it up a little bit, or whenever the next movie comes out, it creates some interest for you.
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. Superman, the newest Superman movie, definitely created more interest than a lot of the previous movies, and the Fantastic Four actually did, too.
They killed Fantastic Four for a while, the comic book, right?
It wasn't going on for a while, but it is. They came out with, like, a special number one around that time. They have a series that's ongoing. So we had a lot of people come in for Fantastic Four, a lot more than, I would say, most of the other Marvel movies, honestly. That one and Superman had a lot of people coming in looking for, oh, where do we read from here? So.
Great. And do you have a favorite comic book?
Like, my guilty pleasure is definitely, like, the Power Rangers comic from Boom, from growing up watching Power Rangers. Beyond that, like, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow is a fantastic story and probably up there, and Invincible.
Invincible, yeah. How do you like the cartoon?
Oh, the cartoon is fantastic, and definitely they've even improved upon the comic.
Yeah. I just realized the other day that I was a little behind on it. Yeah. Like, oh, I forgot to finish it. There's too many different streaming services. You switch to a different one, you don't remember what you're watching.
Oh, there definitely is. You almost see, like, a schedule on your thing and be like, this is on Netflix, this is on Hulu, this is on this.
Yeah, I'm a spreadsheet guy, you know, so I am geeky enough to make a spreadsheet of the shows that I'm watching so I can remember which episode I ended up on.
Yeah, trying to balance all the subscription fees or whatever, you just make a spreadsheet, be like, all right, during this month it's Netflix, so I can catch up on all these, this month it's Hulu.
Right. You just move from one to the other and binge and cancel, go to the next one. Or you share your password with somebody, but we would never do something like that.
Yeah, definitely not. Definitely not sharing passwords with a bunch of people.
No. All right, what else? So where's the store located?
So the store is located over by the Promenade Mall, over the street by Gen Sushi. It's where the old Kmart used to be. Their at-home goods store is. And then there's the movie theater over there as well. And then we're right next to Gen Sushi. There's a ballet store right there. There's a bunch of restaurants that are all actually really good.
So. You got any snacks in the store for when you're playing?
We have a little bit. We definitely don't carry too many because we do have, like I said, there's Gen Sushi right there. There's a poke place right there. There's Thai food. There's a bunch of food options. So we try to give people to go to the other places surrounding us.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, support not just your shop, but all the stores in the parking lot with you, right?
Yep. Yeah, we definitely try to, you know, bring people in, have people just go eat at. I know the owners of Jin Sushi. Try to send people over there. That's why we'll all have lunch brought to me later. So,
wonderful. All right. Well, let's switch to cosplay for a minute. Right. Maybe we'll come back to some more board games and comics. But
they
Faye, welcome.
Thank you.
So, how long have you been cosplaying?
So, 3 to 4 years, like starting now, I would say. So, 2021 to 2022 is about when I started and was really like focusing in on it.
All right. And what's your cosplay today?
I am Misa Amane from Death Note. So, yeah.
And what was your first cosplay?
My first cosplay that I made, like handmade, was Rosaria from Genshin Impact. I was here at Cartoonapalooza for that, and I competed in the cosplay competition with that one. So, yeah, definitely a throwback.
And so, what is it about cosplay that you enjoy?
I think it's honestly just the creativity and being able to take a character that's two-dimensional or, you know, completely fiction, and bringing it to life and almost becoming that character for a day, looking like them and being like, whoa, that's me, you know, I look just like them kind of thing. So I did definitely that.
Yeah. I always, the thing I love about cosplay is just the talent of the folks that are, you know, making their own costumes. I'm definitely at best a closet cosplay kind of person, you know, it's like if I can put it together with stuff that I already have. I can't sew.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you do Halloween, you're halfway there, so.
Right. I remember I went to a cosplay panel once, and one of the questions was, well, if you're not very good at sewing, what are some good alternatives? And do you know what the cosplayer's answer was?
What was that?
Why don't you just learn how to sew?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's a really vital skill when it comes to cosplay. When you start making your own stuff,
it's
definitely something you need.
Yeah. But the other thing I love is that, you know, it doesn't matter to most people in the community if you made it yourself, if you bought it, if you know whatever it is. It's such a open and welcoming community, and you know, everybody's just, you know, it's playing dress up, it's having fun.
Yeah, at the end of the day, we just want to see you dressed up and, you know, as a character you like or someone you find inspiration from. It's awesome seeing a whole bunch of, you know, it's like a jumbled, you know, whole thing where it's like every universe is actually at one convention in LA.
Right.
Like it's the multiverse actually.
It absolutely is. You see every, you know, and it's fun when, you know, I like the mashup cosplays too, you know, because again, that's the creativity, right? I like to, you know, some of them are exactly accurate to, you know, the comic or the movie, and it's just, it doesn't matter where on the spectrum they are, it's always so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
So how long did you work on, like, today's
So this cosplay? One's kind of funny. This is a store-bought cosplay that I actually altered. So it was originally just one piece, and then I added all the ruffles, all the, you know, just different alterations to make it fit better. I style my wigs, and then the prop that I walked up, I don't know if anyone saw that, that was 3D printed. And, right there, handmade. So, it took quite a bit of time, especially since that's so daunting of a task, but being 3D printed, it's in a bunch of pieces, so when you know.
But I mean, really, the 3D printer is like a huge leap forward for cosplay accessories, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to take something and try to make it look like something else.
Oh, yeah.
You can just make it look like the thing you want.
Yeah, and there's so many files, so many other resources. Cosplayers will share anything about how they made a cosplay.
And that's the thing. It's not you know, not
they're
proprietary.
They're not going to gatekeep about how they did their build. If anything, they want to tell you, you know, oh, I use this, I use that, you know, try this, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say is a cosplay that you want to do but haven't done yet?
Okay, so I have started on this cosplay, and this is something that was just, it was so daunting, where I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but it's Queen Amidala from Star Wars. I saw that, and I was like, oh, I need to get this done at some point.
Now, there's quite a few different choices of outfit in
that,
so you have a specific one?
So, like, her throne room outfit, specifically. Okay. Yeah, I love that one. I love the headpiece that comes with it, and just, there's so many other ones I have lined up, too, that I'm like, I need to start working on them, because she's just one of my favorite characters.
You know, it's funny when you have a character that has a bunch of costume changes, right? Sometimes you'll see a cosplayer does that character in a bunch of different costumes.
Oh, yeah.
Or, no, that's my favorite costume, I'm just going to do that one. But it's like, it could be either one. You never know what's going to be your preference. So for you, is that the Amidala outfit that you like? Or do you see yourself doing other Amidalas as well?
I see other ones as well. Her fireside gown is one of the ones that I'm like, wait, that's actually really cool. It seems almost like simple compared to the rest of her wardrobe. And then her Tatooine outfit, the white like two-piece like dress almost. That was also like on my radar of like, I have like a Pinterest board about this, but I haven't quite delved into it yet, you know?
Yeah. Now, and you're one of the judges in the cosplay contest today?
I am, yes.
Right. Yes. Remind everybody, what time's the cosplay contest?
That starts at, I think it's 3.
I think it's 3 o'clock.
I think it's 3. My schedule's all, I'm like, wow, where am I going? But yeah, I believe it's 3.
Yes, and that'll be right here as well, so you can come out and get cheered on. I see some cosplay in the audience, which is great, so that'll be fun at the end of the day. Yeah. So, are there any like cosplayers that kind of inspired you when you were getting started?
It's honestly just like a bunch of people that I would go to cons and I would see people and I'd be like, I have no idea who you are, but like, can I take a picture with you? That's awesome, like how you did that. Specifically with the Padme cosplayers, there's one, she's on Instagram, and I think her handle is just like Naboo Senator, and she does all of them. That's like one of the only cosplays that she really focuses in on, but she's at Star Wars Celebration every year. She's, you know, competing in contests. She's doing everything with it. So she's one of the people for Padme specifically that I'm like, I see her stuff and I'm like, whoa, like, how are you building this?
Yeah. It's also great. There's so many opportunities now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is fantastic because it's local here in Temecula, and it's nice to have something that's local. But I mean, if you really look, there's a convention just about every weekend.
Oh yeah.
You know, within a couple hour drive. I mean, you know, there's so many different options, and it goes from, you know, comic conventions, anime conventions, you know, gaming conventions.
Yeah.
Just so many different choices. So
there's some that
nice.
I see the day of, and I'm like, well, this was happening? Like, where is this? It's just like a 4-letter abbreviation, and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I know every one of my mutuals is going to be there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's cool. There's a lot of stuff nearby, especially in SoCal.
Yeah, and that's what happens is, you know, you take a picture with someone because you like their cosplay, and then the next convention you're at, you see them again, and you're like, oh hey, and that's how you get to, you know, even if you don't go up and introduce yourself and get to know them day one, you just by being in proximity so many times, you get to know these different cosplayers.
You know, you might see them on Instagram sometimes.
Yep.
It's just like, oh, we both follow this one person. Hey, you're a mutual now. Let me follow you. And then it's a whole thing where we're all interconnected.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, you're doing group cosplays.
Yeah, I know.
Do you do any groups?
I haven't, actually. I think partially because whenever I show up with a bunch of cosplayers, we're all just like random people, you know, dressed as different things. But I do like duo cosplays with, you know, friends and people that I'm trying to like rope into cosplaying, you know, where I'm like, come on, it's fun. Like, buy a wig, it's fun, you know? So stuff like that.
Is the wig the hardest part of a cosplay on a long, hot day?
It can be, depending on what character you're going for. You know, when you see, like, anime characters with the big spikes or the big, you know, where it's like, that's gravity-defying hair.
Yeah.
I don't know how my can of hairspray is going to hold that up. So then you start getting... I see people who use, like, PVC pipe, metal, where I'm like, how is this comfortable all day? But, you know, they make it work. They make it.
Cosplay is
not
necessarily comfortable.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
And then there's also the worst part is many cosplays have gloves, so you can't work your phone at all.
Oh, no, yeah. I feel bad for the Spider-Man cosplays when they're trying to, like, mess with their phone, and they're like, I don't know what I'm doing. I can't.
That's
there's
right.
no, there's no, you know, tracking on this. I can't
that's,
figure
that's
it
That's why
out.
You need your cosplay assistant,
yes.
who's typically not wearing gloves, and they can help you with photos.
Yeah. Having someone there who's just like, I'm just going to help you out, it's excellent.
Yeah. And then we also call that the con mom sometimes, you know.
Yeah, backbone of the cosplay community actually is con moms and just friends who come along for the ride.
100%. always helpful. So is there a specific convention that you have as a favorite?
You know, one that kind of popped up recently was, you know, you have Anime Expo, but mm-hmm. they started doing Anime Expo Chibi in Ontario. And that's one of the ones where it's like, if you don't know what you're getting into with a convention, you should just go there, you know, because Anime Expo, that was my first convention, and that was scary, you know, because it was so much, and I was Princess Peach, so I had the big, you know, dress, and I was, like, bumping into people, and I was like, I've never been in this environment before, like, what am I doing? But I think that, you know, in Ontario, it's relatively close by. You have Anime Riverside, too, that's also close by, and it's a smaller con, you know, where it's, like, almost like Anime Expo, but it's just scales a little bit smaller.
Right. Anime Expo is in Pasadena, right?
Expo is in LA, the big one.
Oh, the big one.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's...
There's Anime Pasadena, yeah, and that's connected to Anime Riverside, I believe. It's like the same people.
Yeah,
who run that one.
Yeah. So I always struggle with with cosplay. I have to pick characters that have a beard. It's tough because I wear glasses, so masks are problematic. I got lucky. I found a Batman mask that my glasses just happened to fit right on the outside. Works. So everybody thought I was hipster Batman, which was fine. That was it. Kind of put the spin on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So my wife and I did that hipster Batman, and she was hipster Ariel. That's her
cool.
favorite. So
that's cool.
That was our first cosplay
really
together.
That's really creative right there. It's pulling into the, like, do you know about this? Have you seen this before? Like, you know.
Yeah, it was funny. The first time we cosplayed together, I was kind of nervous. I hadn't worn a costume to a convention yet, and it was LA Comic Con, which was right around Halloween.
So it
made it kind of a little bit easier to ease into wearing a costume because it was so close to Halloween. And again, my wife's favorite character is the Little Mermaid. So she was Ariel and I was Prince Eric. And the funny thing is, there's not a ton of Prince Eric cosplayers. And there's usually a good number of Little Mermaid cosplayers. So it's like, I was surprised that actually a lot of Little Mermaid cosplayers kind of said, oh, let's get a picture. And then I'm like, oh, hey, attention. I like attention. So then I was like immediately sold on dressing up because it was a lot more fun. So that was kind of the deal is we did Ariel and Eric on the first day, and then we did Batman and Robin on the second day. So we kind of each got to do our favorites for the first time we dressed up.
At LA Comic-Con, did you just stay at the convention, or after, were you like, oh, let's go get something to eat, let's go venture out this way, and you were in cosplay in a random restaurant?
I don't remember if we did that the first time, but we've definitely been to restaurants in cosplay. We've been on the trolley in San Diego, in a hotel lobby when the hotel's not the same hotel as the convention.
It's a rite of passage, just being somewhere dressed up, and people are like, where'd you come from?
Or when there's two different conventions going on.
Yeah.
So, and you can just see which convention they're going to. Okay, the cosplayers are heading this way, and the engineers are heading that way. There was one convention where there was a wrestling, like WWE.
Oh, no way.
Like, in one area, and then it was a Buffy convention in the other. Not all sports have a lot of crossover with cosplay, but I think wrestling, of all the sports...
Out of all the sports, there is costumes involved, yes.
Yeah, so
you could wear a wrestling costume to a convention, but could you wear a cosplay costume to a wrestling match?
Yeah, I don't know. You could probably get away with it.
You might be able to get away with it.
Yeah. Or you just mash it up, right? You do your favorite wrestler, favorite character, and put them together.
Definitely.
All right. So, Dan, have you ever cosplayed?
I have a couple times back when I used to go to Comic-Con. I went to Comic-Con from like 2010 to 2019. So
that's a good run.
Did like Castiel, or what else have I done? That was like probably the main one. It's also pretty easy. It's just a trench coat, which actually I guess isn't that great in San Diego in July. But
well, like I said, we got lucky. The sun came out. It's getting a little bit warmer, but you just never know. San Diego is going to be a million degrees usually.
Yeah, no, Comic-Con's usually relatively warm.
Yeah,
Most of the conventions I usually was working, so I didn't cosplay too much, but that one was easy enough. That was just a tie, trench coat, and relatively easy.
Yeah.
How is it working at Con? I always see people doing that, and I'm like, is it like something that's worth it?
Yes and no. It's cool because you get to come in early. You get to kind of go see stuff before everybody else. You can go walk the floor. As they've added more and more rules because... people working booths would go buy things out before the floor opened. They're a little bit more strict about that. You can't kind of like free roam. They're like, are you walking towards your booth? Where's your booth? Why are you walking away from your booth? Okay. I'm like, I'm going to the bathroom. Can I do that? But beyond that, you don't have to wait in line outside. I've almost only ever gone to cons while working them. So I don't know what the like line con and anime expo is. I've never dealt with that. I'm always in with my badge the day before. Comic-Con, same thing. Even to the point where I'm like, I don't really work them anymore. Do I really want to go stand in line and experience them like from the line point of view? But it also means you're stuck behind a booth. Yeah. So you don't get to go necessarily like, oh, that's cool, but you can't go see it. But you also have a spot to store your stuff. So it has ups and downs.
That's definitely a pro. You can put some stuff down in your booth. But I mean, it can be expensive. Like, this is fantastic because it's a totally free event here in Temecula. Again, Cartoonapalooza is awesome. But I mean, it can be tough for an artist or a small business because by the time you pay for the booth, pay for the travel to get there, pay the people to work the booth for you, it can be, sometimes it's not even break even, depending on the con.
Oh, yeah. A lot of cons are definitely like, all right, let's break even and give staff members a chance to just go to, like, Comic-Con, which is hard to get into.
Right.
And I know, like, the staff members we bring in are like, oh, just work one day, and then you can go kind of enjoy the convention. They're like, oh, it's a blast. I get in early. I don't have to wait in line. I get a place to drop stuff off. And I give up a day at the con. Yeah. So.
And so when you're at the, I mean, when you're at the cons, it is, like, break even is, like, the goal, right? That's about as... Especially with a big con like San Diego.
Something like Comic-Con, yeah. Comic-Con's definitely a break-even. Like, Anime Expo is, oh, we'll definitely make a decent amount of money at Anime Expo and get to go. Most of the other ones we will. Comic-Con's the one that just got incredibly expensive to go to, and the hotel rooms are expensive, so it's, we're going to visit Comic-Con.
Right.
That's pretty much what that is. The rest of them is all business all the entire time.
Yeah.
Comic-Con's still business all the time, but it's like, let's break-even... So it's actually more a little bit more stressful. It's actually probably my least favorite con, yeah. Where Anime Expo or WonderCon is a lot more stress-free and a lot more fun.
WonderCon's one of my favorites also because we were talking about the weather. Time of the year is good. You go to, you know, it's usually pretty nice weather at WonderCon, and I really do like that one. So for me, again, when I go to the cons, my first thing that I like is the cosplay. My second thing that I like is to go... to Artist Alley. I figured out pretty early on that it was, you know, the creators that I wanted to see and not the t-shirts, you know, not the toys, right? Although nothing against toys, but, you know, again, I really do appreciate the opportunity to see different artists and different works and you know, whether it's a character that you love or the mashups. And then I think the worst is when it's fantastic, beautiful art, but it's not a character that's in your wheelhouse. And I'm like, well, I've already got too much art. I can't put it. I want to support you, but so that's when you just, you know, share with your friends, say, hey, check out this cool art. Do you have a, what's your favorite part of the con other than cosplay?
Other than cosplay, I would say the same Artist Alley. I always beeline for Artist Alley because it's a lot of just independent stuff that you find. It's like a sticker where you're never going to find it again. And I have a stack. I have like a pencil box full of business cards from every con I've been to. And there's been times where like a sticker will peel off a water bottle or it's old. And I'm like, I need to find the artist again, you know? I need to figure out like where I got the sticker, and then I go through and I'm, you know, comparing the art on the card with the sticker. Like, where did I get this? So Artist Alley, definitely.
I try to do that too when I buy like the prints, yeah. To put the business card in the back of the print.
Yeah, yeah.
If I need it, I can remember who did that, because I definitely have some on the wall that I'm like, well, they signed it for me, but I don't necessarily remember who it is. And then there's the other side is the artist that I just go back to time and again. Like, well, what's new this year? Okay, yeah, I'll get that one. And then you just run out of wall space.
I also love the panels, especially at big cons. They'll bring out like voice actors or, you know, things like that. Anime Expo in 2023. Was it 2023? Or the Spy X Family one? Sorry, I'm asking her from here. I think it was 2023 or around there. And when Spy X Family was like getting its second season, and it was really big. They had like trading cards that they were giving out of just like little, you know, cardstock pieces, and you would go in and they would have the voice actors, and it was like real exclusive. You couldn't record. It was only if you got a seat kind of thing. And I was like, whoa, this is actually really cool. Like, I forget all these really big people are coming out for, you know, Anime Expo. So seeing all that and, you know, being like, whoa, you're the guy who's actually this guy on the, you know, animated series.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this too, is when you get the opportunity to meet, you know, whether it's a voice actor, you know, or a regular actor, an artist, even if you don't do anything else, take a minute to let them know that you enjoy their work, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, if you can, support them with, you know, buying the autograph, buy the photo, buy some of them, their stuff if you can. And, you know, we talk about this on Geek Stuff a lot, is especially with some of the older generation of professionals, like, you know, you don't know how long they're going to be around. So, you know, get your opportunity to tell them that they made an impact on you.
Yeah.
You know, get the photo, get something for the keepsake, too.
I keep telling myself I need to meet Tom Kenny so bad. I love SpongeBob. And every time I see he's at whatever convention, I'm like, man, why wasn't I there? Like, San Diego Comic-Con. I could not get tickets for that.
Yeah.
By the time I checked, they were gone, which
it's
is
tough, but I mean,
usual.
That's exactly it. You want to make sure that you get to one of those events. You know, he'll be with us for a long time, hopefully. But
sure.
I mean, you know, you want to get those when you can. And there's been a couple of opportunities that I didn't take, and then they passed away not too long after. And that's kind of where I'm like, okay, now I'm just gonna go
do it. Yeah.
Although the most recent one that I didn't do. It was at San Diego, I think it was this year, and it was It was the Back to the Future, and they had they had Doc and Marty and Lorraine and Biff.
Yeah.
That was a once in a lifetime photo op, but it was a little out of my price range. I had to let it go. It's there's only so much you can do.
Yeah, sometimes it's like, whoa, what if I take a bad picture? Like, you know, like, what if I'm not smiling or my eyes are closed? You know, like, it's stressful in that sense where I'm like, I don't know. But yeah.
For sure. And how about you? Do you have a favorite part of the convention and then maybe a celebrity that you'd want to get the photo with?
Favorite part of the convention is probably still, I know when I get off the time from the booth, it's still definitely go down to Artist Alley. Especially when most of the other booths on the upper floors outside of Artist Alley are all stuff I can kind of order anyways. So that definitely adds a different thing where it's, all right, let me go walk around Artist Alley. Every time I'm free to go shopping, that's pretty much where I go. The panels usually just don't have time to go to. But I've been to some Hall H panels. I've seen like Supernatural panel there. I've seen like the Walking Dead panel. And I'd still say it's probably Artist Alley overall.
Yeah, I definitely feel like as I get older, the allure of spending the night in the park next door just to get into the Hall H panel has lost a little bit for me.
I definitely just happened to know people that were working Hall H, and you just wore all black and you walked in the back door and pretended like you worked there and then sat down and then you kind of just got to stay there. And that's probably the only reason I saw most of those panels. But it's a lot of conventions. The secret is you just pretend like you work there and you get in, or you pretend you were just outside smoking real quick and you just went back in.
But we would never do anything like that,
right? Don't tell anyone that.
Yeah, don't give that secret out. That's going to be posted on the Geek Stuff podcast. Don't worry about it. All right, so let's kind of wrap it up here. It's getting a little warm for everybody, I'm sure. So one more time, give us the address and the socials for Sanctum.
It is 26489 Inez Road, Suite A in Temecula, California. It is over by the Promenade Mall, not in the actual ring, but just across the street. And then all of the socials are Sanctum CGC.
Great. Dan, thanks. And Faye?
Yeah, I just have my socials for you on TikTok, Instagram, and then I believe Pinterest now is The Faye Cosplay, FAE.
All right.
Perfect.
All right. Again, we want to thank everybody for hanging out for the panel today. Hope you guys have fun at the rest of the show. We're here till 5 o'clock, right? There's a cosplay contest at 3. And so thanks, everybody, for coming out. And this is Pi Day Scott with Geek Stuff TNG.
Well, I should probably say that Kev always reminds me that I am West Coast Scott on this show, even though my Instagram handle is PiDayScott1 and PiDayScott pretty much everywhere else. But if you want to reach out to the show, again, call us on the GVM line, 201-730-2547, or check us out. Just go to the link tree and find all the different links there. Again, it's GeekStuffTNG there, Patreon.com. We even have a link to our pals over at Mythical Meats, where you can get 10% off your first order if you use the code GeekStuffTNG and the link in our bio. So with that, we will end this episode of GeekStuffTNG, episode 818, the way we end some episodes, by saying good night, Holly Holiday, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Early to rise, early to bed. And in between, I cooked and cleaned and went out of my head.